B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz, Agenda-Free Friday, presented by and driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Felger here in the A-hole chair in our Town Fair Tire studios, Maz and Murray on location. Final hour of your wonderful phone calls. We're all loaded. So we'll go to them unless, Maz, Murray, you have any developing opinions or anything new you want to share or old you want to share with the people of Boston.
Negative.
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, straight to it. Jake in New Bedford, Patriots and the draft position. Go ahead, Jake. Okay,
Hey, guys.
Go.
So I know we don't have an early first-round pick to offer the Lions, but I was wondering, what if we threw in Stephon Gilmore, because a lot of people have them picking Jeff Okuda, the corner from Ohio State.
Sure.
And maybe the 23rd pick and a future first.
Okay. So we've heard this over and over again. I do not think that Stephon Gilmore is a valuable chip. I don't think he's a valuable piece. He's 30 years old. He makes really good money and wants to be paid more money. And so why would a team in the top five give up a top five pick for a 30-year-old corner who's already one of the highest paid in the league who wants to be paid even more? Is that even, I don't think, if the Detroit Lions would bite on that, then they're even dumber than I thought, Maz.
So look, I don't think Gilmore has a lot of trade value either. And don't get me wrong, if there's a team, you know, in the middle of the season that's on the verge of a Super Bowl and needs a corner, then I think that you know, Gilmore would have a lot of value as a final piece that could put you over the top. But I think right now, the one thing we all know, at any position, the most valuable thing in that league is a good or a great player who is on his first contract, because you're getting premium performance at no dollars. Gilmore right now, to me, you start to border into bad financial decisions or long-term decisions if you're a team that makes a trade for him. And I'm not saying he stinks, he's good. But it just doesn't, you know, in terms of bang for the buck, it's not what you're looking for.
So, like, I'm sorry, Murray. I mean, you know me. I will entertain any possibility and put credence in any report. I don't shut anything down or close any doors. But I don't see, I don't think the Patriots have anywhere near the ammo it's going to take to move up from 23 to 3 or 4. I don't know how they get that done. I don't think they have any tradable roster pieces. Gasper mentioned Joe Tooney before. He's a guard who's on the franchise tag, who you're either going to have to guarantee a top 5 salary or pay through the nose on a long-term extension, and he's a guard. So what else do you have? Again, Gilmore, 30 years old, wanting to get paid more money, I don't think is a chip. You don't have any good young players, for crying out loud. So you don't have any good young players. You don't have a second-round pick. You have future firsts. But, again, if I'm a team that's trading with you, I think you're going to be a good team, a top half of the league team, which means you're a bottom half of the first-round kind of team. I just don't think you have the ammo, Murray.
No, I don't either, especially if you base it on, and I brought it up, and Volan brought it up in his column where we were talking about possibly trying to trade up, you know, to get Tua. When you base it on the deal between the Browns and the Eagles so that they could get Wentz, so the Eagles could get Wentz, it was 2 firsts, a third, and a fourth. Like, you just don't have that. The only case you could maybe make for them making the deal for Gilmore, who I also think the age is the thing that would be the hangup, is that Matt Patricia knows this is his last year. It's win now, make the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game, or you know you're out. Because he probably should have been fired last year. And you basically have how much of the Patriots defense already, and Flowers and Shelton, Jamie Collins that they brought in. So I don't see it happening, but you could maybe make a case in that he feels the noose tightening around his neck. It's ultimate win mode now in Detroit. So maybe that's how they end up making that deal, and that's how Gilmore is involved.
Let's grab Ryan in Grafton. He's been waiting patiently on the Patriots. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, guys, thank you. Two quick points on the draft. Felger, I know you agree with this, but, yeah, getting a running back is a waste of a pick, especially if you need a kicker. I would pick a kicker over a running back if you need it. They've wasted picks on Michelle, Harris, Mike Gillisley, and then the cornerback drafting has been awful, too. You think about how many good picks they could have got with that.
Okay, so I'm not drafting either position, but I'm not – running backs are more valuable than kickers. Okay, so but those are the two lowest. Like to me, special teams and running back. And I know I'm right because those are the lowest franchise tags too. The running back is like the second or third lowest franchise tag on the whole field, and it's because it's the lowest paid position on the field because it's the least valuable singular position on the field. But if I need a running back, yeah, fine, I'm going to draft one in the third or fourth round is what I'm going to do. I'm almost never drafting a kicker, Maz. There's too many good ones that just float around undrafted. You don't even need – but if this Blankenship is that great, I guess. But how many kickers get drafted a year? One or two at most?
Oh, tops. Look, what was Gostkowski? He was like a fifth-round pick,
Fifth-round pick. That's right. That's high.
Yeah. So I think once you get to that stage of the draft, I don't have a problem with it, because if a guy is good enough there and you hit on it, it's, you know, I don't think you're getting great return at that once you hit that stage of the draft anyway. And wasn't Jake Bailey a fifth round? I think once you get past the middle of the draft, and I, you know, the fourth is smack dab in the middle, to me, you start veering into areas where if you can get yourself an above average kicker or punter, it's probably worth it.
Todd in Plymouth on the Pats. Yes, Todd.
Hey, guys. So I think everyone's underestimating Brissett. And the comment I want to make is, how do we know if he's ready? You guys keep saying, well, if he's ready, if he's ready.
Hey, Todd.
Is Tom Brady
Todd.
Ready to take over Bledsoe? If he was, he would have been starting. And that's the question I have. Like Brissett was phenomenal up until his last year when he had a bum team. But was Tom Brady ready?
Okay, because you keep saying Brissett. I believe you mean Stidham. Okay, so just... don't confuse me or everybody else. You mean Stidham. So, yes. I mean, maybe they're treating it like that they want that. I mean, I don't know. So your point is Tom Brady wasn't ready, so Stidham's Brady because he's not ready either? Like, I mean, I don't know exactly what your point is there. They either think he's ready to go week one or they don't. Or maybe they're not sure right now and they want to see it all play out. And I think that's probably closer to the bone. They probably look at Stidham and say, long term, we think he has what it takes, but will he be ready week one? We're not quite sure. And so here comes the contingency plans, either at the draft or in the free agent ranks.
I'll tell you, too, that if they didn't think he was ready, and I'm going back now to, say, January, okay? And because I hate to keep saying this, but I keep going back, because that's the first time that Greg Bedard sort of mentioned it when we had him on the show, Greg of the Boston Sports Journal. And he said they don't think he's quite ready yet. Well, if he wasn't ready then, there is no offseason now.
That's right.
It doesn't exist. And so I just wonder if they look at it and say, "We're, you know, if there was a shot, it's going to be even less than it was because we just can't get him out on the field."
So look, this is, you know, as a, you know, not in the trenches, thank God. This is fun to sit back and watch and see who's right and who's wrong, because there's been a tremendous amount of local reporting mess where the Pats have clearly told the local guys, Stidham's the guy, Stidham's the guy, Stidham's the guy. Yet there's a whole raft of national guys. Todd McShay, remember his comment last week or the week before? Spoke to people in the organization. His feelings, Stidham, not ready. Ian Rappaport, most recently this week, Stidham, not the guy this year. So it's, you know, we're going to find out who's right, who's wrong on that. And that's that's always good as well. So Rappaport did have some thoughts on the quarterback spot. You'll hear that coming up next, and we'll take more of your phones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Know something, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Eh, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are the Patriots in the quarterback conversation for the draft? And if so, how? I mean, walk me through your reporting on what New England's quarterback room is going to look like this fall and how it might be affected over what happens next weekend.
Yeah, I would say the Patriots are very firmly in the quarterback mix. They are just, they're so far back, you know, so I'm having trouble figuring out, like, what are they actually going to do? Because, you know, they're up in the 20s. I mean, you know, Jordan Love sliding into the teens and them grabbing him is a scenario that I've thought a lot about. They also had some success with Jimmy Garoppolo in the second rounds, so maybe they try to repeat that. They don't have a second rounder. So they either could trade back and create one, maybe, or they could use some third and fourths and trade up in the first round. The Patriots are going to take a quarterback probably with a premium pick. I would just imagine it's not at the pick they currently have. So I don't think that they're going into the draft saying, all right, we got Stidham, we are good, like, say, like the Chiefs did with Mahomes. Like, it's not like that. I think it's, we're going to add to the quarterback room. We'll put them together in, you know, God willing, July and August, and see what happens. I mean, my guess right now is Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback of the Patriots in 2020, but I think that is something that will be ever evolving as we get through next season.
So I'll say this. As a talk show host, Maz, I sort of love the intrigue here. I think the Patriots quarterback situation is wide open, and it's as wide open as as unpredictable as the Tom Brady departure story. The Tom Brady departure story was a close call, and I know, you know, certainly really good reporters have been warning us that it's a real possibility, but, you know, even Tom Kern and Jeff Darlington, all those guys left open the possibility. At the end of the day, does he really go through with it? Does he really leave? Will he really leave New England for a place like Tampa? No one really knew. No one had it for sure until that Tuesday morning, and Brady released that stuff on social media. It was a great whodunit, right? And I sort of feel the same way about their guy next year. Some really good reporters, Kern again, and other local guys. It's Stidham and Hoyer. But would anyone be really surprised if they drafted a guy first round next Thursday, if they traded up to draft a guy, if they did what, you know, Rappaport said here, either trade up or down, but use a premium pick at the quarterback? Would it surprise anyone if they do nothing at the draft and then the next week it's Cam Newton? Yeah, I mean, like, don't you think it's wide open?
I do. Yeah, I do. And in fact, I think really, I'm not sure Bill knows. And so, which to me is probably the source of the whole thing. If Bill doesn't know, how the hell could anybody else know? I just think that with Stidham, again, I put this under the category of, do they like Stidham? Yeah. Do they think he has a chance? Yeah. Are they ready to put the trust the team to him? No. And so they also think that there's a chance Stidham could fail. And so I think that that right there tells you they don't know. They don't have the answer. It's going one way with Stidham. It looks okay right now, but they don't really have the answer. And to me, what you do there is you take more swings, more cracks at it, and bring in another body.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts. It's going to be an interesting week, and it's going to be, I think it's going to start this weekend. Yeah, I think the rumors have already started, but Bill even hinted at it on his conference call. And it's weird, like, how he knew that that was going to time out that way. But didn't he say at one point that, you know, it's a little quiet now, but it'll start to pick up this weekend as we get into next week? Like, he foretold how the rumors and the conversations would start to pick up on the weekend, which is sort of odd. So everyone said, all right, we're not going to start rumor mongering among each other till Saturday. I mean, that's just like a predetermined sort of schedule on when you can rumor monger.
Well, I just think it's human nature, right? The closer you get to the actual deadline, you know, let's face it, we're in nut cutting time now. And you're a week before the draft, and you also have to add in the element of the pandemic, because it's not like everybody's going to be sitting in draft rooms ready to go on draft night. They're all going to be secluded and sequestered or whatever in their own particular places. And I think the whole process gets a little bit more complex. So if there are going to be deals leading up to the draft, it wouldn't surprise me if they happen at the beginning of the week.
Okay. Yeah,
if they drafted someone and, you know, that's who their starter is going to be next year, or maybe it's Brian Hoyer for a few weeks and then they go to Stidham, like, none of that's going to surprise me. If they at this point ended up bringing in a Cam Newton or Andy Dalton or one of these retreads that seemingly nobody else wants, that would actually surprise me. I think we're past that timeline.
Oh, I'm sort of the opposite. I'd be surprised if they drafted a quarterback in the first round, and certainly if they moved up. That would surprise me. I'm actually now, if you ask me to put my money on the odds-on favorite, to me the odds-on favorite is a veteran. The odds-on favorite is a veteran after the draft, and they're going to see how this shakes out. You know, once Cincinnati gets Joe Burrow, for sure, now they can move on from Dalton. Or once, I don't know, the Chargers say they have Tyrod Taylor and they draft Justin Herbert, now they are officially out on Cam Newton. Like, you know, we're going to have a little more. Or, you know, let's say Detroit at 3 drafts a quarterback. Now Stafford's available. Like, after that shakes out, there's going to be 2, 3, 4 starting quality veteran quarterbacks available on the market. And if I had to bet, they're going to pick up one of those guys. That's my guess. But again, like, I have no strong feeling on that. I think the thing is wide open.
I mean, other than Burrow, no one really knows how the quarterback market's going to shake out in the first round. And so if all those guys end up going high, then the Patriots probably end up in free agency. I think they're all waiting because there's so much uncertainty after Burrow, and Tua's health is obviously a huge variable for him. That's what affects him, that I think that it could shake out in a million different ways, and so people are going to wait.
All right, zip through a few calls here. Please try and be brief if you can. Sean in Fall River. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Yes, so for a late round prospect, I like Jake Luton out of Oregon State. Big guy. He has a good decision making, doesn't turn the ball over, 28 touchdowns, 3 picks last year. Works out of a pro style offense. He can come in and run the play action, works well behind the center. Projected 6th round, I see the Patriots maybe taking a reach.
Okay.
Trading out of the first.
Oh, no, I didn't do it. Just give me that. Joe Luton. He's not even on my – oh, my God. Jake Luton. Luton. This the Athlon Draft Magazine has him as the 29th rated quarterback. Jake Luton, Oregon State.
I can't tell you how much I hate this.
Oh, me too. This is why we mock that by throwing markers at the magazine.
I like this guy, Felker. There's a good guy that plays for Amherst College.
Let me give you the guy. Let me give you the mid to late round sleeper. And I only give you this because it was Tom Keegan in the Herald, who I think has some juice with Belichick, had floated out Nate Staley of Iowa, who's sort of like a Jake Fromm type, Maz, which I think he's more of a pocket passer and the traditional sort of drop back kind of guy, field general, yep, but not super athletic, doesn't run all that run around crap. Like he sort of, so Nate Staley would be my guy if you're interested, but we're going to throw for quarterbacks next week. Ronnie in Boston, what do you got, Ronnie?
If Marshawn Lynch or any great running back is listening, they wanted to sock you right in the kisser right now for saying they have no value. I mean, some of these guys, Marshawn single-handedly won a bunch of games for them.
You said Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, remember some of those games and those playoff runs were just won just by him.
Sure, 10 years ago. Congratulations. You picked a guy from 10 years ago. Very good. Excellent. I think that sort of proves my point. Wally in the car. Go ahead, Wally. Wally! Okay, you can call us back when you're ready to go. Carl in Grafton on the return of Major League Baseball. Hi, Carl.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if Maz is really going to stay and take jail on this, and he's not excited about the potential of a baseball season this year. I'll hang up. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, did you ever say you weren't excited about the potential return of baseball?
Well, I think I am on the record as saying as I hope the game destroys itself.
All right.
So I'm assuming that is what he is getting at. And what I would tell you is this. I have a little interest in the start of the season this year. You know why? Because I think they're being forced into changes. And so whether it's robot umpires, 3 batter minimums, which was coming either way, pitch clocks, whatever, and I don't think we're going to see the pitch clock necessarily, 7-inning doubleheaders, like, I want to see some of these rule changes because if they're committed to improving the product, then I'll watch. Absolutely. That's a big thing for me.
Yeah, no. I'm as horny for baseball right now as I've been in a long time. But that's what the apocalypse will do for you. The apocalypse is so grim, so dire that you even miss baseball. Tom and Quincy, I know a big, good baseball fan. Your thought on our Wonderlic conversation?
I do. I it's almost as good as the big board talk, I swear. But honestly, Mike, I thought Murray's sound the other day calling in when his power went out when he's on the phone was sad audio. You at the parade? Oh, man, I felt for you.
It's bad.
100%.
It's bad.
But seriously, a little perspective on the Wonderlic. Okay. Vince Young's 6 score, I think they said he had.
6.
He got outscored by 21 points by Jameis Winston, who's like, honestly, maybe the biggest meathead in the whole NFL right now. And the only thing that's discouraging about that number, Stidham scored the same number as Jameis effing Winston.
That's right.
So I have some issues with the Wonderlic overall. That's all.
Well, hold on. Maybe Stidham's a moron. We have no idea. Do you have any clue whether Stidham has a head on his shoulders or not?
No.
No clue.
But that number for Winston is shocking. I figured he was going to be a single digit. Like, that was going to be a lock.
So, look, here's what, based on the numbers that we read earlier, honestly, I'm going to take the Wonderlic over the weekend. I'm going to see how I do on it.
Attaboy.
But the names that you were reading earlier suggest to me that a good score doesn't guarantee anything. But were there any great quarterbacks on that list that had a bad score? When I say great quarterback,
right? So
I don't mean guys that won Super Bowls like Terry Bradshaw, because they had
Dan Marino was 15. Dan Marino was 15. That was the lowest, and I've obviously closed it out. But Dan Marino had the lowest that I could tell.
What'd you guys think of Steve McNair?
As a quarterback, I liked him.
Me too.
15.
15, that's bad.
Terry Bradshaw was a 15.
15, right. Dan Marino was a 15, right?
16 for Marino, actually.
16 for Marino. So yeah. That's low. But you know what? I think Marino was kind of a doofus.
Yeah. I agree.
A moron. I mean, just incredible rifle arm, unbelievable passer of the football. But some sort of tactician, some sort of field general, some sort of bright. I don't think he's particularly bright. I've never looked at him or saw him or said, this guy's particularly bright.
I mean, maybe there's a reason he never won.
Just shut up and throw the ball. He could do that. More of your thoughts. One more segment of your calls if you want to join us at 617-779-0985. We do have one more big board position to put on the board. We'll do a real quick kicker toss. That's right, kicker toss, right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I think similar to most years, you know, quite a range of players and some of the systems that they play in college are different either than what we run or what traditional NFL systems would look like, and some are more closely schematically to that. So, you know, each guy has his own set of skills, he has his own circumstances, and some players have, you know, played well over a sustained period of time. Some players have had an exceptional year in the past year or two, maybe 2019, some cases 2018, and then for whatever the reasons were, the 2 years didn't quite match up. But that's, you know, I'd say about the way it always is. You know, there are always a variety of things you have to try to put together and look at, but certainly there's a lot of interesting players, guys that have really good arms, can really throw the ball, and there's some very athletic players and players that have won a lot of games and, you know, have shown their competitiveness and instinctiveness. Interesting group, probably one that has decent depth to it.
All right, Belichick on the quarterback class. Is that last line a giveaway? Decent depth to it. I think it was a hint there, Maz.
Yeah, maybe. Look, either that or he's manipulating people, right? Yeah. I don't put that by Bill either, but by saying there's decent depth there, maybe he means, look, you know, we might be able to get a half decent quarterback in the third or fourth round. Then again, they have three picks late in the third in those in that compensatory area, which is at the end of the third. So again, to me, that seems like the best plan of attack for where they are. And after listening to Mike Lombardi go on and on about how, you know, taking quarterbacks in the first round is a risky proposition, I just think that Lombardi's thinking is largely shaped by Belichick. And so, and I don't mean that like cause and effect in the month of March and April this year. I mean that he learned under Bill and he thinks like Bill thinks. And I think the likelihood is if they take one, it's in the third or the fourth.
Okay. A big storyline heading into next week. Next week, we will shoot for quarterbacks. We will shoot for receivers. We will shoot for tight ends. Three real key positions and positions of need on the Patriots. So we've gotten away and gotten rid of all the other stuff. One last thing we just got to do real quick is put a kicker on the board. Now, I have a little bit of a dilemma. As you might imagine, these draft magazines, they don't devote a lot of space to kickers. Like,
lump them together with the punters, right?
Well, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. In my Lindy's magazine, the specialists are just a two-page spread that have three kickers and one punter. Blankenship, and then someone from Utah State, someone from Georgia Southern, and then a punter, Joseph Carlton of South Carolina. The other magazine just has one half page on specialists, and it's three punters and Blankenship. So to have you know, Billy shoot for one of those. I don't know if that's totally fair. Then there is a list with just a little tiny boxes. I don't know if you could see it here, but you know that, you know, the magazine that I send that has just the box, just the names listed, no write-ups of 12 place kickers. So I ask you,
throw it at that list, two of them.
Two of them, two of the 12.
Yep.
Okay, that's, yeah. It's really hard to hit. Billy's going to have to really work hard. We'll go closest to Billy. This is, they chose that little list. I'm sorry, buddy. I tried to help you out there. But okay. So you'll pick two of the 12 kickers, closest to, and you got to help me out. You got to look at where they hit, because sometimes it. Go ahead. All right. Fine. Go ahead, Billy.
Nope. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, that sounded good.
No.
He's an assassin. If anyone's going to hit it, it's Billy.
Okay. That felt like it got there. Bottom left.
Yeah. So. Billy, is Billy throwing a third time, or do you only throw twice?
So, okay.
I think
so,
he might have missed on that first one.
So first one is Louis Zervos, Ohio.
Sounds like a kicker.
Louis Zervos. Z-E-R-V-O-S. Louis Zervos. I'd give you a write-up if they had one, but they haven't given a write-up on this one.
Something tells me that guy is 5'7".
What was the first one? What was the first one that you hit? Okay, so we're doing two. One more, Billy. Come on, hold on. Stand by.
Come on, get the hot rod. Get Blankenship.
Go ahead.
By the way, Louis Zervos, 5'9".
Of course.
5'9", 174. Oh, God.
Rodrigo Blankenship Jr.
Yeah!
The hot rod.
Okay. Stand by. We do have a write-up for him because that's the one everyone knows. Strengths. God, we have a write-up for an effing place kicker. Strengths. Converted 82% of his career field goal attempts, including 25 of 31 in 2019. Made all his... See, like, I don't need to know the stats. Give me his... What's his run-up? Does he have a strong... Right. Like, give me a... Come on. Let's see how good your scouting report is. All right, here we go. Rodrigo Blankenship. Quick to the ball.
Good.
Boasts a strong leg and is technically sound. Tinkering with his technique in 2017 to gain more distance on kickoffs, resulting in staggering improvement with approximately 78% of his kickoffs going for touchbacks over the final 3 years after just 36% in his first year as Georgia's starting kicker. Okay, there you go. Weaknesses. Very confident. Some peers view it as stubbornness with his technique.
Uh-oh.
Though revered for his mental toughness and fun-loving personality, Blankenship could struggle with the transition to the next level, given that the Marietta, Georgia native was personally coached by his father, Ken, from peewee football all through high school.
Uh-oh.
Does not have a lot of experience kicking in adverse weather conditions. That's a big one. Though his final home game at Georgia was a notable exception, driving rain. And Blankenship was 5 of 5 on kicks, 4 field goals, including a 49-yarder. Guess who his pro comparison is?
Kostkowski.
Justin Tucker.
Yeah, all right, that's all right. A good sign.
Justin Tucker, pro comparison, Justin Tucker, Baltimore Ravens. Blankenship's personality and iconic eyeglasses make him more popular with teammates and fans than the typical kicker, not just due to his accuracy, leg strength, and metal under pressure. So, put him on the board. You got your guy, Rodrigo Blankenship. What do you call him, Murray?
The Hot Rod, that's his nickname.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll see.
I want to call him Poindexter. Those glasses are awesome.
Okay.
And seriously, I like him too, yeah.
The other one is Louis Zervos, Ohio. You say he's 5'9 as well?
5'9, 170.
How tall is Blankenship? Hold on, I should look
it
up.
6'1, I looked it up. Okay. 6'1, 190.
The tallest guy we've hit on this entire week is the effing kicker. We have nothing but little fellas. A few more phone calls here before we hit the final word. Quickly, let's grab Mark in Orlando. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I hope we get a kicker that can hit an extra point in the Super Bowl, but that's a different story. My real question is, do you think Belichick interviews some of these quarterbacks and top prospects because even though he knows he's not going to get them, he's curious as to what the deal is about them, and it's actually future scouting?
Sure. This is Mark, thank you for the call. I'm not calling you this. But the Belichick Patriot toady loves to say, yeah, Bill's getting the secret intel on the guy. So when you play him in 2 years in a big divisional game, he knows all. He knows what makes him tick because he interviewed him at the draft. You hear that all the time.
Yeah, he's way ahead. He's playing chess. They're playing checkers.
So annoying. No, they need a quarterback, so they're scouting quarterbacks. Whether they take him or not, who knows? But if you're telling me that these, you know, FaceTime interviews are going to give him intel so he can actually beat the guy in 2 years, I'm sorry. I'm not buying that.
Yeah, Felga, he's talking to Herbert because he knows Miami's going to take him at number six, wherever the Dolphins are. And then he wants to be able to pollute the kid's head before Flores brings him in.
Guy and Bill Rooker, go ahead, Guy.
Hey, guys. You know, we're talking about trading up with Detroit. I'm wondering, does a trade with the Giants make any sense? They're supposed to be looking at an offensive lineman. So does Tooney have any trade value there?
So some guy, but I just can't believe a guard, any guard, short of John Hanna, is going to get you from 23 to 4. The Giants are at 4, right? I'm sorry. As good as Tooney is, he's also not under contract, which doesn't help. So it means like the Giants don't get cost certainty there. They have to dig in and sign Tooney to a big long extension with a big signing bonus, which is all on them. And that's going to get you from 23 to 4? No,
he already signed his franchise tag, so it's already 14 in stone for this year.
But I think you can rip it up and you can still rip it up and give him another contract if you want at some point. But
the other variable that people overlook is that, okay, let's say that the Giants are willing to do that. Well, there are a lot of teams that have a lot more to offer. So whether it's Miami or Jacksonville or all these teams that have two picks in the first round, all of which, by the way, are basically before the Patriots pick even once. So Miami has three picks in the first round. Miami could trade the middle of its two selections and throw something in and still blow the Patriots out of the water.
So I just happy to talk about it. I invite you to talk about it. You just got to tell me how. I don't care what draft chart you throw in front of my face. If the league lets Bill move up from 23 to 3, and he has no second-round picks and no, for all intents and purposes, no good young players on his roster, and he can go from 23 to 3, the league should be indicted, or there should be an investigation for fraud or insider deal or something. How do you go from 23 to 3?
Future first-round picks.
But if those future first-round picks are going to, I mean, I don't know. There has to be some thought that those future first-round picks are going to be good. What if he gets the quarterback at 3, and now he's, you know, picking again in the late 20s and early 30s again? Like, what good are those first-round picks to you?
Right. So, if Detroit ends up making that deal with the Patriots, I told you, the only way that the Patriots get it is blackmail or a bad job or whatever else. You start to wonder if Kevin McHale's the general manager of the Detroit Lions. That's what you wonder.
Okay. Coming your way next, in just a few short minutes, will be a spectacular final word.
Tugger Mez.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody eats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
So I've been told that Hardy gussied up the Bill Belichick Happy Birthday song we all collectively had the other day. So hit it, Jimmy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Snorting and the lip smacking.
I still can't believe we got it in time.
Seriously, I don't know how that happened.
Also, here's a montage of some of the worst callers of the week.
Oh, not hard to put together, I'm sure. Does the team that he went to impact how Bill treated him? Let's just grab Sully in Boston real quick on it. Go ahead, Sully.
All right. Yes, Steve, Sully, and I'm going to land this plane right now.
Oh, God.
The bottom line, I'm not even going to give a preface to this. Would Brady have... He wouldn't have been drafted. Can we agree he wouldn't have been drafted if Belichick didn't draft him?
Wrong. He would have gone.
He would have gone?
He would have gone.
Where?
I don't know, but someone would have picked him up. Steve snuck his way in by calling himself Sully this time.
Yeah, I thought his call was still all over the place.
Of course, usually is. Tony in Kingston. What do you got, Tony, on the return of sports?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. What do you got?
All right, so a few years ago, I went to see the Battle for Atlantis down in down south there. And anyway, long story short, they could only sell, there was only a 2,500-person ballroom and no more than 1,200, 1,300 people per school could go. Well, anyway.
What's this guy talking about?
I have no idea. To
say Battle for Atlantis. I
love you. With the Battle for Atlantis? Is that what he said? And
I have no idea what the hell he was talking about. No clue whatsoever. Zero.
I'm going to land this plane right now.
Oh, God. Someone emailed me. The Battle for Atlantis is a college basketball tournament held in the Bahamas.
Yes.
So it is actually something. But who would know from that?
Yeah, the Battle for Atlantis. Yeah.
We're going to see Aquaman.
Yeah, Felk, if you want to see a real tournament in a bubble, go to the Battle for Atlantis.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.